Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Would you read together with me the sermon title for today?
An invitation for you.
Based on our gospel lesson, Jesus said to them, "Come and eat." Today is all about invitations. Now I'm going to invite a very treasured brother in the Lord, an honored guest, to rise this morning. I won't mention his name, but his initials are the Reverend Rudy Pashtuka. Would you? I'm going to embarrass you. Stand up, young man. This is Braden's dad.
Don't hold it against him.
I used to think I had a pretty good sense of humor. I don't hold a candle to this rascal. We're so glad you're here, Pastor Pashtuka. Honored that you're with us today. Today in our sermon, let me get back to the pulpit. We're going to talk about invitations. Again, in our gospel today, Jesus said, "Come and eat." This is only the fourth of five invitations we're going to be speaking of. Well, it's fun to get invitations, isn't it? By email, by phone, by in person, however you get them, invitations are fun. Now, what's your favorite invitation? To a wedding? To a birthday party? To a home-cooked meal? To a home-cooked meal? Just hinting here. An invitation to a performance or a sporting event? How about an invitation to church? I love the story of an elderly lady who lived in a senior's home, much like Courtyard Garden. This woman was a faithful, dedicated Christian woman. She never missed the worship service late on Sunday afternoon in her senior's home. But this lady, also dear to my heart, was a wonderful baseball fan. She had to be blessed from God. Well, on one particular Sunday, she had two invitations at the same time, and she had a dilemma. First, a friend invited her over to her house to watch the final game of the World Series. That's the championship ball game after 6 months of playing baseball. She was invited for a meal in this special game. But also that Sunday, the worship schedule at her senior's home had been changed. And they changed it to exactly the same time as the ball game was supposed to come on. And now she had a dilemma. And the time for decision came. Would she go to the game or would she go to the worship service? So her friend asked her, "What's your decision?" And then she said this: "It all depends on who's pitching and who's preaching." Well, today we are pitching an invitation. Or actually five. And it will be the title and the message we're preaching as well. Invitations. Not all invitations are accepted. Some invitations are rejected. In our sermon today, and please note your sermon outline in the handout, it's a very simple outline. We'll be looking at five invitations from Jesus. Our acceptance or rejection of these invitations spell very important consequences. Would you read the first invitation with me from your handout? The first invitation from Jesus is, "Come and see." In John chapter 1, we read these words. "The next day, John the Baptist was with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples followed Jesus and said, 'Rabbi, where are you staying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Come and you will see.'" Come and you will see. It's much more than an invitation to see where Jesus was temporarily living. It's an invitation to come and see, an invitation to a new life, a changed life, new priorities, a new future. Jesus went to Simon, whose name means a small little pebble easily kicked around. And he said, "Now I invite you to change your name to Peter, which means a solid rock, the apostle and leader of the new church." Jesus went to Mary Magdalene, a prostitute, and said, "No, from now on, you will be Mary, a witness to the resurrection. You will be the one convincing the disciples who don't yet believe." Jesus went to Thomas, the doubter of the resurrection, and invited Thomas to become the apostle, the fearless apostle, who brought the gospel to India and laid down his life rather than ever denying the Lord again. Today, this same Jesus is personally inviting you and me and all people to come and see. Our Lord wants your heart, not just your church attendance. He's inviting you to a new life, to a changed life, to new priorities and a new future. Will you accept his invitation? The second invitation from Jesus, would you read it with me? Come and learn. In Matthew 11, please listen carefully to these words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, learn of me, and I'll give you rest for your souls." Our problem? We labor and are heavy laden with the cares of this life. God's solution? Learn of Jesus. The result? We will find rest for our souls. The powerful and learned of Jesus' day, the Pharisees, put heavy burdens on the backs and hearts of God's people. They told them, "You have to do this. You have to perform in this way to get right with God, to have a good life." Now, the learned and powerful of our day can often be represented in various kinds of public media. They put heavy burdens on us as well, and they proclaim, "You must know this. You must do this. You must own this. You must wear this. You must look like this. You must act like this to be worthwhile, to be popular, to be happy." This is a special problem for our children and youth who are growing up in these days, as they seek to discover the basis of their self-worth. But these influences lay upon each of us what Jesus calls a heavy burden. Let me ask you this morning, what is the basis of your self-worth? Where do you go to find rest for your souls? Jesus said, "Learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls." This is one reason why a consistent focus in this congregation is this: come and learn. This means faithfulness in hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit. It means faithfulness in attending one of the many Bible classes offered in this church. It means faithfulness in bringing our children to Sunday school and to confirmation class. Now, speaking of teaching and learning, did you know that a brand new role of the church that we've never had before, that's been foisted upon us because of the world in which we live, a new important role in the church is to teach our people, listen carefully, to have an alternate perception of reality? I say it again, to have an alternate perception of reality. What does that mean? In this age when traditional biblical values are being thrown away, when truth is being abandoned all around us, when the difference between right and wrong that used to be so clear now is so confused, when personal and family priorities are so messed up, when immorality is not just tolerated but celebrated, when even the mention of Jesus is ridiculed, we and our children and grandchildren need to learn an alternate perception of reality. We need to be taught to see life through the lenses of God's Word, God's truth. We need to learn that God's eternal truth and His claim on our life is often in direct opposition to the truths and so-called reality this sinful world is trying to shove down our throats today. Are you sick? Are you sick and tired? And soul weary of what confronts you and your family every day in this godless world? Jesus' invitation still stands. Learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls. The third invitation, what does it say on your handout? Come and rest. Not during the sermon, by the way. Come and rest. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus said, the scripture says, the apostles returned to Jesus, and Jesus said to them, come away with me to a quiet place and rest a while. Jesus' apostles had just returned from a long, hard missionary journey. So Jesus, in his love for them, planned to take care of them, to bring them to a quiet place, a place of retreat and rest. My friends, I need to hear this invitation, and so do you. In too many aspects of our lives, in our work, in our family, in our personal emotions, our futures, we work and we strive and we push and we plan and we fret and we worry and we will not and cannot rest. Why? Too often it boils down to a spiritual problem. Too often, we have bought into the lie, and here comes the lie, various forms of it. We've bought into the lie, my work equals my worth. To do is to be. To accomplish means that I'm good. The busier I am, the better I am. My badge of honor is how full my calendar is. Behind all of this is a spiritual illness. The spiritual illness is called works righteousness. The lie of works righteousness tells you that the only way to get right with God, the only way to find worth in His eyes, the only way to earn salvation is by striving and working to do all that you can do. But the same invitation Jesus gave to His apostles, let me take a deep breath here, He gives to each of us. He says to you, Larry. He says to you, Anna. He says to you, Marie, Anne Marie. He says to you, Rudy, come away with me and rest. We find our rest. We find our worth. We find our righteousness not into what we have done, but what Christ has done for us. Look at that cross above the altar, would you please? See on that cross your eternal worth to God. Look at Him who died on the cross to pay for your sins. Look at Him who rose from the grave to make you right with Almighty God. Come rest, He says, in my nail-pierced hands for you. What's Jesus' fourth invitation? It's on your handout. Come and eat. Oh, boy. I look at a few rascals out there and say, that's your favorite invitation. Come and eat. In John 21, verse 12, the gospel reading for today, we see these words. Jesus said to them, to the disciples, come and eat. After Jesus' resurrection, His disciples had been on a tough and long fishing trip. The resurrected Jesus met them on a beach as they brought in their fishing boat. Out of His love for them, imagine this, Jesus Himself prepared a meal for them of baked fish and bread so they could have a peaceful time with Him and with one another before the hard work of the gospel began after His resurrection. My friends, here's a wonderful goal for each of us, to reclaim our mealtime for godly purposes. And even if you eat alone, you can take time in quiet prayer and realize that common table prayer, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, can be prayed, come Lord Jesus, be my guest. And He will surely accept your invitation for table fellowship. Far too often our meals are hurried, gobbled quickly, fast foods, on the run. Jesus says, come and eat. And look here at the altar today. What are we having today? Holy Communion. Whenever Holy Communion is upon our altar here, the resurrected Jesus looks you in the eye and says, come and eat. Come and experience table fellowship with Almighty God, with other sinners who kneel by your side or stand by your side. There at God's table, know the friendship and forgiveness and love of God for you. There at table, eat and drink the heavenly food of bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Are you looking forward to the last invitation? It means the sermon is almost done. Would you read together with me the fifth invitation from your handout? What does it say? Come and inherit. Recently in this congregation, there's only two gentlemen I know that have personally heard this invitation. Wolfgang Graham and Bert Iverson. Come and inherit. In Matthew 25, Jesus said, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This is an invitation that none of us here have heard yet. It's likely the final invitation that we will receive. In Matthew 25, Jesus is talking about the end of the world, the day of resurrection, when we stand before Almighty God, and all the people in the world with trusting faith in Christ will hear this invitation from God, come and inherit the kingdom. This is an invitation to an eternal inheritance that can never be taken away. Not too long ago, because of the encouragement of Alan Schellenberg, who stands ready to encourage any of us to get our affairs in order, not long ago, I updated my will, updated my plans for the inheritance to be given to my wife, my children, and yes, a gift to this church. Now, it's been said you can't take it with you regarding taking to heaven what's valuable to you now, but that's not totally true. You can take to heaven your children, your grandchildren, your loved ones, your friends, because you are making a good spiritual investment in them right now. Lord Jesus, open our eyes. Help us to reorder our priorities. Show us how to invest our time and our talents and, yes, our treasures for our loved ones, for others, for heaven's sake. Well, back to the question I asked you at the beginning of the sermon. You remember what it was? Of all the invitations you receive on a regular basis, what's your favorite invitation to get? Today, you have heard your dear Lord Jesus give you five invitations. Let's read them from the sermon outline. Jesus said, come and see. He said, come and learn. He said, come and rest. He invited, come and eat. And finally, come and inherit it. Please do come. Invite someone else also. Jesus' invitations are for you and for all people. Everything is ready. In the name of Jesus, he is risen. Hallelujah.